And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews and chapter 12. And in our exercise of the book of Hebrews, as we're seeking to remind ourselves by God's word of our relationship to God and what he is after. And he is in pursuit of that we would be following and doing and being all that we're supposed to be. So, and therefore he gave in Hebrews 11 the great catalog listing of those that to make a sample of those that believed God. And they all were humans, just like us. But what marked them differently? They believed God, and given points and given ways, they demonstrated their faith in God, to let God be who he is. And that's what they did. And that's what marks them. It isn't their humanness, it isn't their good or their bad or their everything they did, no. No, the only thing that marked them was when they trusted God and God did what he did. And that's what he remembers. All the rest is flesh. Hang on to that. We'll fix that a little better. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we come to Hebrews 12, and God, in a very wonderful way, makes it very, very clear that God, just think of a coach. You're training for some given field, Olympics or something, and you're seeking to qualify and to run the race. And in doing so, your coach is there. But then, having done all the exercises and things to get you more and more ready, the coach just fires out at you. He just lets go with you and puts his finger and says, "You've got to do this. You must do this. Do you understand?" And he has no variation, no allowance for tolerance. He just says, "You've got to do it." Determined like that. That you got a little picture of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. God is driving home his own example that we're to follow. And he means one solid business. He isn't messing around. He wants it understood. I expect you to run. Now, and we sought to do that a little bit and to remind ourselves, because in doing all that, you have to say, why? I'm not qualifying. I'm not looking to get the prize. I'm not in the race. That's for somebody else. It isn't for me. So therefore, re-looking at it just a little bit more, the chapter 12, 1 and 2 is there to give us inspiration, motivation. And not only is it to give us motivation, it's to give us aspiration, a desire to follow the coach's admonition and to do it. So we have an aspiration, ambition, desire. And that ambition, desire makes for expectation, looking for some results. I'm motivated. I have a aspiration, desire, and I'm looking to have the results. Now, so having said that, and remember what we did to remind ourselves over to Hebrews in chapter 4. And in Hebrews in chapter 4, picking up, if I may, verse 1, the admonition. And all of this ties together in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, because the problem is with unbelief. They don't believe. They aren't believing. And therefore, having said that, pick up, if I can, in verse, chapter 3, we'll do it a little differently. Hebrews 3 and in verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They didn't do it back then in the Old Testament. But the admonition, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, like in them, an evil heart of unbelief. What's unbelief? It's an evil heart. Unbelief, you aren't believing. Hang on to that. In departing from the living God. So, sliding down to verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's the key. Believing, you'll pick it up in the morning. In fact, this session should introduce you to the morning in a different way. Now, therefore, chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore hear the fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, to fail, to get there. And you'll notice again, to come short, think of the Romans 3:23. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the word short, to miss the mark. And it's his rest, verse 1, sliding all the way down to verse 9. There remaineth, therefore, since it's always there, and think of what you did in, hold your finger here, and go back over to chapter 12, chapter 11, Hebrews 11, and verse 40. Remember what when we read at the end, verse 40. 11:40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, Old Testament, do not have an advantage on us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect, complete, full, finished. Back over to chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God, because they didn't finish. They had their opportunity. It's now your time. Your time. Now, verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, God's, not yours or mine, he also, when I enter into God's rest, I cease from mine own. If I'm going to rest in God, I'm not resting in me. You're not resting in yourself. In other words, it isn't you that you're trusting. You're trusting God. It isn't self-sufficiency. You're trusting God. That's what you're doing. When you start trusting God, you stop trusting yourself. That's what you do. Otherwise, you're still doing half and half, trying to do half and half. Therefore, he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and remember all of that is in light of Genesis 1 and 2, and God rested on the seventh day, stopped, he was all finished. Everything was very good. Everything was just as it should be, in the light of all of eternity. Now, tie that together a little more, if I can, tie it together, and go to second. Remember, God in his wonderful rest. Our God is looking for us to rest. And God's purpose in creating you, in creating us, in a most wonderful way. It's a wonderful, he has a wonderful, wonderful purpose. That's why he created you. In his image and likeness. Now, back over if I can, 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, if I can, God's wonderful, wonderful purpose, his rest. Rest, and God finished everything. And I'll probably take a sentence on that. God finished everything. That means what God had done on the seventh day, all that God had in mind, Genesis, the book of beginnings, is to work itself. The painting is in the mind, and the painting is all done. It just needs to go in the canvas. That's what the painting does. Has to go on the canvas. Genesis, the beginning. Revelation, the conclusion. Everything that God started in Genesis concludes in Revelation. All comes together. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, in the process. So God has an awesome purpose, and that rest includes everything that's going to be in that canvas, as we shared. So God is going to go, and here's all of the different things. Here's the nations that rise and fall, and here are all the humans, and that's us guys. Here we are on the canvas. And God has a wonderful, wonderful purpose. It isn't something he's going to come up with, think about. It isn't like an encyclopedia or a dictionary even has to be updated. It isn't like that. God has what he has in mind in a most wonderful way because he sees it all and has it perfectly with all the pieces in the light of his cross, going to the cross. So therefore, 2 Timothy chapter 1. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Remember what you just read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10. We are trusting his work, trusting his rest, to cease from our own works. We're stopping ours, not trusting ours. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, before it ever began. God had it all done. It's a wonderful thing God has in mind. And to make sure that it happened, Christ is going to die on the cross. For what? For everybody that he creates, because he's putting him on the picture, to be saved in a wonderful way. That's the plan. It's his purpose. Now, his wonderful purpose. Now, over to Ephesians. Before the foundation of the world. And you will note, in Ephesians, may I go directly to verse 4. According as he hath chosen us, God's wonderful plan created us for us in his image and likeness to be his for his glory. According as he has chosen us, where did he choose us? In him, in Christ. That's where he chose us. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. That's when he did it. So, paint in mind, the painting is all there. It just needs to go on the canvas. Now, having said that, before the foundation of the world, what's the wonderful purpose? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated to mark out ahead of time, as having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, to be placed in the sonship, be saved, to be, we're in adoption, to be placed, and the word sons, to be placed as a son, into the family of God, instantly, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted, highly favored in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That's what it is. When was all that? Before you were created. That's what it is. It's an awesome plan. And that's what He's going to do. He's going to do His plan. And it's a wonderful thing. You can understand, so we're trying to get the point across a little bit. That's why He exhorts you. That's why the coach is telling you to run. I didn't give you any other choice. There are no secondary plans. I do not change the painting. I have a wonderful, wonderful plan in my heart and mind, and I'm pursuing it. And I'm trying to drive home the point that you had need to pursue it. You say, I can't. Yes, you can. In God's wonderful rest, you're resting not in your producing something you don't know, couldn't even understand. You're producing something God has in mind. And God has it in mind, and God's going to do it. So it isn't up to me or you at all. Nothing to do with us. It's with God. That's why we stop our little blueprint and look for God's how working, in etc. And verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. At chapter 2, I'm just putting the piece together again, so you see it. God isn't messing around. People read Hebrews 12 and that. They read, except a man deny himself and take up his cross daily, he cannot follow me, cannot know me, follow me. Why are you so strict? I'm the only way. Why are you like that? Because it's the only way. And all us people, us humans, are all over the place. We have all kinds of religions to pursue. All kinds of philosophies to pursue, from communism, socialism, Islam, whatever. What do you want? We can pursue it. See? Hang on. Now, Ephesians 2:10. I'll read verse 8. For by grace he is saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For reason, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, unto God's wonderful, wonderful working, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them before ordained. Gotta keep reading it. Before. So it isn't something He's going to come up with when He sees you, sees how next week goes, and sees what to do. There's no question of that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been created. Now, having said that, chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy Remember, the word worthy is to balance the scale, old-fashioned scale of justice, balance the scale. Here's God on one side. God said, I'll measure you to see where you need to walk so you balance. Here's what God wants. And it's the same thing. David, chapter 13, 1 Samuel. David moved his heart up to where God was. He balanced the scale. He did. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, walk worthy of the vocation. You all have a job. You all get pay the rent, pay the food, and do whatever we do. Then we have a vocation, and that is your calling, your wonderful calling to what? God called you when you got saved to himself to outwork his wonderful good works in you. That's your new job. When you got saved, God took over. And your employer is the God of heaven. And Ephesians 1:3, he supplies all your need to see that you do the job. That's what he's going to do. Now, to walk worthy of the Lord in a vocation wherein you are called. Back over to Ephesians 1. And 18, the eyes of the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, what do I need to know that you may know what is the hope of his calling, walk worthy of the Lord, and with the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God's going to glorify himself in humans that he creates in his image and likeness in a most wonderful way. And then you're going to read in all of them, all kinds of places, you know, I'm going to go, and God, before God shed his blood, as it were, he committed himself, 1 Peter, before the foundation of the world, he died for you. That's what they say, all over the place. They say, that's right. I did. It's all done. It has to work itself out. So therefore, having said that, and keeping that in mind, as we go down the corridor of time, so God has to help us. Acts and chapter 15. A simple statement. Acts and chapter 15. And going, if I can, directly in the light of it all. Verse 18, 15, 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. There's nothing new. Nothing's going to be. What's going to be next week? There's nothing new. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, there's nothing new under the sun. It's all, nothing's new. God hasn't. That's why what? We're looking, trusting in his rest for the outworking of what's there. I don't see tomorrow. God does. Tomorrow was already finished, already done. There's nothing to do. It's all finished. I just have to move in it. That's what I have to do. Who can help me get there? God. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why we walk with God. God, it knows where you're going. So we're going to look to God. And last little thought on that, maybe. Over to Colossians and chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, wonderful prayer, as you know. And picking up chapter 1 in the light of the prayer, purpose, that, 1:10, you might walk worthy. Always walking, 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 walking. What's walking produce? Running. Walking makes running. Resting makes for movement. Resting, you're resting so you can run. That's what you're doing. You're resting to run in God's will. Now, and therefore, verse 10, so that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And you can go all over the place and you'll see it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, so here, back over to Hebrews, stop on your way, chapter 3. Chapter 3 and in verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, Christ Jesus. Remember the calling, which is calling, rich, high, heavenly, holy calling. We're to walk worthy of the Lord in his light of his grace. And then it says, understanding that God wants that, I have to look, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ. We've got to look for God. Got to look for God. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. He gives you the example of everybody and then the grand example of himself. He said, this is what you have to do to outwork it. Now, chapter 12. And in chapter 12, picking up, if I may, and just walking through. Therefore, in the light of all that we just reminded ourselves of, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about, we are wonderfully, wonderfully surrounded in God's, to put above and around us. To surround us. We are compassed upon with so great a cloud of witnesses. But remembering them, but here they all are, and we have the Bible. That's why God gives the Bible. The 66, here's all the Old Testament. Here's all of the wonderful example of our Lord in his three and a third years ministry. We have all of that example there to remember the knowledge. So they're witnesses to it. They did what we're supposed to be doing. In other words, God didn't come up with a new plan for us. And God didn't come up with no plan for us. God came up with a plan and it's in motion. God created everything before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, it was all set. And it started in Genesis 1:1, and you turn the pages, and here we are on our page. Therefore, the witnesses, and God certified his word, and God gives his word and testimony. Our Lord confirmed it without any question, and being so surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we're to what? Lay aside every weight, and the word weight, to get rid of, to throw off, to put off, to take off, as clothes, take them off. Each weight, singular, a burden, a swelling. It's a medical word, a tumor of your body, tumor growing out. Weight, singular, swelling, incumbents, tumor, etc. And in the process, grow. And what's it going to do? Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And the sin is unbelief, as you see, as we just did. To remind ourselves and to lay aside all the weight, because that's what hinders us. I shared that together, that's what the trained people for the Olympic Games way back then and now, they give themselves 100% as best they can to develop and prepare for the event or whatever they're going to do. That's what they do. They aside every weight. and they diet, they run, they exercise, they do everything. And they, whatever it is, they listen to their coach, and if they get a good coach, that helps to perform, to run just so, to pace yourself just so to make it. And therefore, we lay aside every weight, everyone. So God, what are we doing? We ought to be very serious about the business of running and resting. That's what we ought to be very serious about. Why? Why? Because that's God's will. And it isn't some dream or something, it's just what it is. God has a wonderful plan for you to be saved in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now hang on to all this a little bit if you can, because if the Lord tarries and we live that long for the morning, I think I can add a piece to this. Now, and as you're doing that here, looking, God lay aside every weight that we can run. Just so you see the admonition following as you did Hebrews, go hold your finger here and go back over to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, after you read verse 10, he had entered into his rest to cease from our own works as God did from his. Verse 11, admonition. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should after the same example of fall after the same manner example of unbelief. We know what? The admonition. Strong admonition to have something. The average person didn't do it. Going back to Israel in the wilderness and after there, the average Jew, the average Israelite, they all had what Joshua and Caleb and they could have had, but you don't read it. You just don't read it. They just don't do it. And here's the church, churches and people, but how many are even conceive in their mind that such is possible, where it's the main point. That's the main point of you being saved. It isn't to get to heaven. Some people think that, you know, and go to heaven. We didn't get to heaven. It's to be able to go from death to life. Now, God isn't waiting till you die. Hang on. Now, so having said that, back over to Hebrews 12. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay aside every weight, burden, and the sin, even of unbelief, which so easily, and the word easily, it wraps around us. And we shared that, I think, was noted again. You have, and I have, an old nature. The old nature, this in your mind and heart, the old nature is how we think. Now you can be a nice person and think, and be a bad person and think. But both of us are using the same mind and the same heart, and we choose to express ourselves in one way. Someone else chooses to express themselves in another way. But they all have that old nature, and that it doesn't go away. It's just there, and it's there, and all you got to do with people, the nicest people in the world, all you got to do is find the right things to present to them, to talk to them about, and you'll know that they got an old nature. Do you understand that? All you got to do is hit the target. Where's the... It's the same thing. Well, yours is over here. Yours is over here. Theirs is over here. It's the same part. Same old nature. Just got to hit it in the right place, you see. And remember, we used that silly illustration, maybe. Little old lady sitting on the porch. They go by every day going to school. She offers a soda and, I mean, a lemonade and cookie. And you take the lemonade and cookie, and you go, and she just, what a lovely little lady she is. And she makes the best cookies. And you say, I'm going to tell her about my Savior. And you go and start talking about, you know the Lord as your personal Savior. And she needs to know the Lord as her Savior and for his righteousness. And then she says, no more cookies. No more cookies. I'm done. Go. I don't want to talk. You hit the right button. You brought out the old nature. It's in everybody. You just got to bring it out in the right way. That's all. Now, so therefore, lay aside every weight. Yeah, lay aside every, which so easily besets us. In other words, you can say, I want to do right, like Romans 7. Do there, that just, why not do it? Hold your finger right here. Over to Romans 7, a simple statement. Romans 7, verse 18, as you know, for I know that in me dwelleth, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, that I'd like to do, I do not. I don't do good. But the evil which I don't want to do, I do. It's just the way it is. That's my old nature. So to overcome and do it and want it and pursue it, you have to overcome your old nature. That's why Christ died. That's why we look to God to deliver us and rescue us. So we're going to go and not, we don't trust our old nature. How are we going to handle our old nature, which is surrounds us and won't quit? Reckon Romans 11. 6:11, reckon yourself, what? Dead. Christ died, crucified. And you'll be free. You're believing God. And when you believe, all of the benefits come. And when you're believing, you know you're free. And you can practice it and run the race that's before you. Otherwise, you can think about it and want it and wish it, but you don't do it. You don't do it. Oh, I'm going to read the Bible, but it's a wonderful thing to read the Bible. You need to do more than read the Bible. You need to believe the Bible. In order to believe the Bible, in believing the Bible, you'll eventually understand the Bible. Why? Because you got to believe. You believe. And when you believe, it gives you the understanding of something. You believe something is by faith, and then something becomes alive because you believe that it is. And if it's real and your belief is resting on solid ground, then you can pursue it. Now, back over if I can, in the light of that, Hebrews 12. And in Hebrews 12, the sin which does so easily surround us, to prevail over us, to win over us, and it's emphatic indeed, then connecting the weight that hinders us, the sin of unbelief. As we read in Hebrews 3, 11 and 12, remember the sin of unbelief, that's the problem. That's what the problem was. They got a whole lot of things in their life, and everybody has them. But the real nutshell that puts it all together is you don't believe. The solution is to believe. It isn't to analyze yourself and do that. You do that, you know. And you know, and there's no end. There's no end to NI. And remember, when you do that little side thing, when you start going with your mind all over the place, remember, and your mind is quite able to do all kinds of things in all kinds of ways beyond the computer system and beyond artificial intelligence, beyond that. In fact, I think I tell you that, the World Economic Forum, they had a big sheet in it, big sheet, people in it. What are they doing? They're producing a Bible by artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is going to produce a Bible called the Religious Book, combining all religions of the world in one book. And you can imagine taking Muslim and this and sliding those and somehow making that come, making it fit artificial intelligence. And then you have one Bible for all religions, you see. Yeah. Well, we're working on this one. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that, which so easily besets us, so we have to go and look to God. And in verse 1, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now we're to run with patience. The word patience, remember, is the word endurance, to bear up under, to carry the load. Remember, just think of putting a load on your shoulder. Here's my bulletin, a load, how much? Here's my bulletin. And I'm carrying it out. I'm patiently. I'm enduring. I'm not putting it down. I'm not leaving it back. I'm keeping it right here. I'm going to stay right here. No matter what I do, it's on me. Patiently. Enduring. Therefore, with patience, let us run. Let run the race that is before us. Now, and taking that, so you see that a little better, go with me, please, over in the light of that, over to Romans and chapter 15. And Romans and chapter 15, as you would note, and the scriptures, is God's word, and picking up in thought, chapter 15, going directly to verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Why? That we, through patience, bearing up under, hanging in there, not putting the load down, that we, through patience and comfort, encouragement of the scriptures, That's why we're going by the info. So we're not dreaming. I don't want to dream about this. I don't want to do that. I got to go. I got to have something, solid ground. The comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Verse 5. Now the God of patience, the God who's in charge, the God who makes possible patience, the endurance, the God whose plan it is, whose will it is, whose wonderful grace it is. Now the God of patience, endurance, hangs in there. Hangs in a little phrase, you know it. We're to, our faith is to be trusting God's faithfulness. God's faithful, and we are what? Trusting his faithfulness. Endurance. God, you're going to quit being faithful? No. You're going to endure. Hang in there. That's right. You, patience, hang in there. I'm going to be faithful to be who I am, and you be faithful to trust me. That's what you do. That's all it is. Simple thing. That's what you do. As verse 15, verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you, comfort, grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. You're going to go and have that wonderful, wonderful expectancy. And verse 13, now the God of hope, remember the hope you're going to have. Hope, what does hope do? Hope says, go another step. Hope, you're hoping. You aren't stopping, you're hoping, expecting, anticipating. We're running the race for the, and we're running it for the an expectation of finishing. We're running for the prize, etc. Now, having said that, as we're going, hope, what are we doing? We're going down the corridor of time, and hope, and because we go to, you made it through yesterday, that's why you're here today. And if you make it through today, you'll give it a shot tomorrow. Hope, that's what you're doing. You aren't sitting here and claiming, you aren't taking my bulletin again. You aren't taking this amount, like this, right? This is it. I have to be in church the rest of my life. No. No. Here we are, looking to God. We claim it. We don't do that. They can't do that. Because you can't stop the clock, and you can't stop the calendar, and you can't do this. You can't do it. It's hope. And without hope, that's expectancy to go down to the next step. And that's what that's the bottom line, hope. Hope. Now, having said that, verse 13, now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that purpose you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's going to help you understand to get there. That's what you're going to do. You got to have hope. You got to have hope. Now, if you're going to do that, we'll take another minute. Over to, but dear, we don't have a lot of time, Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, putting it together, watch it. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only are we looking for God's wonderful outworking, and not only so, but we glory, verse 3, in tribulations, trial, troubles, oppression, and also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It produces endurance. Because if you work through, you did the 5 minutes exercise, and you do 10 minutes, you just do the next thing, you just keep going and going and going and going. That's what you do. The tribulation doesn't go away. So what do? We hang in through it and go through it, the trying of our faith. Verse 3, tribulation worketh patience. And patience, bearing up under, there's your word again, produces experience, and you learn. You learn. That's what you did. You got educated. I made it through yesterday. I can make it through today. I learned the multiplication table for the table number 3, I can try table number 4. You see, I can try it. I'll even try 5. 5 times 5, I don't know. Anyway, now, and verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, and knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Verse 4, patience experience produces hope. And you're back to it. That's what it is. That's what life is. The trouble is we leave God out and we have no real hope. But we're hoping the job works out, you're hoping your health works out, you're hoping you don't get an accident on the way home, you're hoping. Yet that's what you do. That's how you go. The difference is the believer is able to look to God, and God is the incentive. To what? To sit still? No, to sit and be quiet and rest. all the time running the race that is before you. And you got to go to the next hour, the next day, the next week. You got to do it inch by inch by inch down the corridor of time. Therefore, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why not? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, who's going to do that? By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Spirit of God is going to help you. The Spirit of God is going to keep reinforcing everything. So the more we trust God, the more we find He's there. And God takes us down the corridor of time in a most wonderful way.